You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Rotations.
Welcome to Rotations on 3CR. My name is Brendan. 3CR broadcasts from Wurundjeri land in the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. On Rotations today, we have the singer of that song you just heard, which was called Nothing's Gonna Change the Way You Feel About Me. And it's Kate Lucetta.
Hi.
And her friend Jacob Gray.
Hello.
They're going to regale us with some music today. And we also have Celine.
Hi, it's me again.
Who's been on this show many times.
Many times, and we usually talk about very random things. I think the last one we did was illness. Is that right?
I think we talked about
being
illness.
Being sick.
Because you were sick.
I was sick, and I was sick for about 3 months, and then I got sick again. It was just constant, and we created a whole show around just being sick and the different types of being sick.
But now you're very well.
I have been well, touch wood. but this is a different show today.
Yeah, what are we talking about today?
So what we're talking about today is open mics, because Brendan came up with a show, and we're testing it today, of doing an open mic live to air on radio.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I think it's really topical idea, because we've been going around trying to play open mics for a while, and Kate runs an open mic, and it was by far the best open mic we had ever played, and so now we go there all the time. And that's also how we met. And that's how we met. And I guess we also, yeah, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the culture that Kate brings to her open mic. And I guess also good to talk to you about what's important to you and what you thought was important for an open mic and how you make that culture. Yeah. What do you think?
I think the community is the core of it all. Like, I've been running open mics now for, I feel old saying this, about 20 years. I should mention the one I run right now is at Ragtime Tavern. Give a little plug. Yeah, I've run a number of them over the years, and I started out sneaking into open mics when I was 16. I used to sneak into the Ninth Ward, which doesn't exist anymore, and a few different places I just wanted to play. I didn't want to drink underage. I just wanted to play music, and I would go by myself, and I just met people. And now, like, I have so many amazing friends, and almost all of them actually root back to open mic nights that I've been to. It's wild. Like, it's shaped my entire community and friendship network, and actually my life. Like, I run Ragtime because I started going to the open mic at the Thornbury Local 20 years ago, and Andrew, who owns Ragtime, ran that bar first, and they had this great open mic night, and then my friend Tim Woods started running it, and then I started running it, and it just snowballed. And then I started working at the bar because I was there all the time because of the open mic, and then I started getting gigs there, and it's actually shaped my entire life now that I think about it. It's how I know you, it's how I know everyone in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What do you think are the important factors in a good open mic?
I think when someone new comes in the room, they need to be recognized and made to feel welcome, because things can be, and I think it's not intentional, but things can be clicky without people realizing. Like,
that's so true. Yeah.
Like, I remember one of the first open mics I ever went to, I used to go to the Comfortable Chair in Brunswick, and my now good friend Jed used to run it. But I remember I went there the first time, and I was all nervous, and I was like, I'm just going to check it out and maybe I'll play next week. And I sat in the back corner, and Jed like saw me walk in and walked straight up to me and was like, hey, what are you doing here? I haven't seen you before. And I was like, I'm just scoping it out. And he made me play that night. And it was great, because then people talked to me and then I made friends, and I do exactly that. Like,
did you, in that situation, had you brought an instrument, or how did you?
No, he had a house guitar, and all the open mics I run have a house guitar for that same reason.
With, like, a capo.
Yeah. And like, she doesn't forget. We have a baby grand piano as well, which is pretty sick. Not everyone has that, but it's that.
So the host being welcoming, that's one.
Also,
that's one.
Definitely no Wonderwall. Makes
sense. Like, hey, I love Oasis.
There are a few songs actually that are on the no list, right? So it'd be Wonderwall, Hallelujah. It's another one. Brown Eyed Girl.
Brown Eyed Girl. No, it's a very subjective thing. Definitely no Wonderwall.
I love Oasis.
I remember that the Proclaimers would have been played at, you know, I Would Walk 1,000 Miles have been played a lot during the time that was a popular song.
Yeah.
Every two people, there would always be a duo.
Oh, really?
People singing that song.
We should start a Proclaimers open.
Definitely phases of things. Like, you'll have, songs that are big, like,
and everyone's covering
them. And everyone's
them.
Doing them. Yeah. And then they disappear, and then something else. But
and I also notice that different areas of Melbourne have different pockets that do. Some do really old school. Like, I went to one that was like further out a little bit, and I played a Simon and Garfunkel song. And someone came up to me after, and they were quite young, and they said, "Did you write that?" And I was like, "No."
Yes.
What do I tell them?
Yeah. It never crossed my mind before that someone might not know those songs. So
it's funny, isn't it? Like,
different pockets, different open mics, and you get different crowds going. Yeah, it's different vibes, I guess.
Yeah. Also, you discover different things. Like, I mean, I run Ragtime now, and I don't actually. I need to get to some more open mics, but there's been periods of my life that I've gone to so many and been like, on Monday I go to this one, Tuesday I go to that, and I, you know, I meet people coming to open mic who ask for other recommendations, and I'll always recommend things. But yeah, you meet different people at all of them, and you learn about different music. And I remember playing an open mic years ago, and someone saying, "Oh, you remind me of Laura Nyro," and I was like, "Who's that?" And she's this obscure singer, and I looked her up, and like, I've discovered all these different things, or heard someone play a song and I didn't know what that they were, and then I've gotten into them, and it's a great riff of learning. And yeah,
shall we hold that thought? And
all right,
Celine,
yes.
Would you like
we'll
to
save our more talking for later, because we've got
like
an hour
to sing us a song.
All right, I'm gonna sing an original. This one is called Wild Rivers, also sometimes referred to as Filipino time song, because I talk about Filipino time and how everything kind of slows down, and make sure you never turn up when someone says 8 o'clock. They actually mean 10 o'clock Filipino time. These guys have heard this song at open mic, so apologies.
Note that we turned up
the
on time
story
to
again. Yes, you did. Not Filipino time. Yeah. Very good, very good.
Radio time is different.
Regular time is different, exactly. It's not island time. All right, here we go. We've ever done an open mic on Live to Air before, so
no,
this is going to be really cool, actually.
And an open mic sounds strange if there's no applause, doesn't it?
A little, yeah.
Very attentive listeners, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure people are clapping at home as well.
Yes.
Thank you, Celine. That was Wild Rivers by Celine, who's in the studio
and
with
Brendan,
us.
And Brendan, who also helped me record that.
Yeah. I love
what a surprise.
Just singing harmonies. That's
yeah,
so cool.
Exactly.
Do you have a song for us?
Yeah.
Kate and Jacob?
We can do a song. This is a song called Priorities.
It's dedicated to my housemate, Essie, who has great priorities.
She was gardening when we left.
Is she listening in today?
She said she was gonna. We were like, sorry, we're not helping you garden. We have to go be on the radio.
So important.
We'll help you garden next time, SH. All right.
I've been doing, but there's no time.
disgusting delusion about children trapped in tunnels. That's how we got Aussie Q, it seems. And now everything else. I mean, now it's just a six-month pipeline from that to Australians who live in this alternate American fantasy land where they post about Donald Trump all the time. So its ability to, via Save the Children stuff, to get a whole range of different political persuasions in is what I found fascinating, you know? I talk a lot in the Aussie Q videos about how your auntie, she might not be that far right wing now, but she might be quite left. She might just be a spiritual hippie type. But there's this broad appeal to things like Save the Children and Great Awakenings. There's almost a hippie-like quality to it, particularly when you tone down the whole MAGA element of traditional Q. And it's getting people in there. But Q is not just a conspiracy theory, is it? It is this conspiracy theory that is meant to drag you right after a few months. So your auntie's going to be talking about Make Australia Great Again in 6 months if she isn't right now.
You're listening to Radical Radio 3CR.
You are listening to Radical Radio 3CR. My name is Brendan, and I'm here with Celine and Jacob and Kate. It's a cast of, I was going to say thousands, but it's only four, really. But it sounds like thousands, and that was a wonderful piece of music. What was that called?
That song's called Priorities.
I'm glad you prioritised it for us today. Is that an original?
It is. It is.
How did it come about? What was the inspiration for it?
I actually, to be a bit of a downer, but I wrote it when my uncle was dying of cancer, and I spent the day with him by his bed, and then I went home, and it was one of those songs that just, like, I picked up the instrument and the whole thing came out in one piece. Yeah, fun bit of trivia. My uncle, who died now, has two songs about him. That song that I wrote, and he was the original drummer in Men at Work when they were a high school band. And Colin Hay has a song called Gathering Mercury that he wrote about my uncle many years earlier that he played at his funeral. Not a bad legacy to leave, having two songs about you.
Yeah, that's very special. That's probably, when you think about it, how many songwriters there are in the world and how many of them come and go through open mics. There would be people walking around the world and with songs about them they don't even know.
Yeah, what a crazy thing, hey?
And how did you two meet, Jacob and Kate?
Open mic. We met at Thornbury local open mic just after I moved to Melbourne down from Sydney, and me and my friend were planning on making an album together, and he was like, you gotta come to this awesome open mic, my friend Kate runs it, she's a great musician. We went, and I remember being really nervous because I was using a thumb pick, and both Kate so and my cool. friend were like, dude, that was cool, but like you played so quiet, and I was like, all right, don't use the thumb pick. Yeah, Kate and I have known each other for like 6 years or so, and recently it started with me backing her up because she's a great songwriter, and now we're starting to write together as well a little bit.
So how do you write together? What's your process usually?
That's a great question.
I'm still figuring it out. Jake's done lots of writing with other people, and I've never written with anybody else, and I feel like I'm learning through him, which is fun and exciting.
There's lots of notebooks involved and throwing paint at the wall
and winging stuff and then going.
Stream of consciousness is a big one. Yeah. Like that's,
and winging like stuff and then going, did you hit record on that? No. Oh, no.
So you're usually in the same room together.
Yeah. Yeah. Most pretty much, yeah. Hit record on the old voice memos.
And we have an amazing friend and drummer that is also my housemate, and we've started writing songs with him, and sometimes having the rhythmic element really just brings out some ideas, and then we'll record it, go back and try to add lyrics to it. It's sort of the process at the moment. Lyrics seem like the final thing at the moment. Maybe it's because of how crazy life is in 2026. It's like, what do I even say, dude?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so you can get kind of stunned, can't you? There's so much going on that you can get stunned into silence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, we talked about this. We're trying to reduce it back to simple things like tea or, you know, going for a walk in the park. Like just fun, silly ideas that then you find meaning through just observing things that you might look over. Because like you said, yeah, you get this sort of overwhelming amount of ideas, and then you end up just sort of thinking, well, how can I possibly put that into words? But if you sing a song about like a bar of soap, you might realize like the soap's actually very emotional and there's a lot coming out here. Oh, maybe I was feeling more than I thought.
Yeah.
Because I'm now talking about the soap being like, you know, part of like a soap conspiracy or something.
This is Brendan's one of Brendan's favorite things to say is, but is it really about soap? Over That's every song he hears.
Yes.
We need to hang out more, Brendan.
Sometimes a bar of soap is not really a bar of soap, is it?
This next song is called Digital Information.
It's not about soap.
But it's also
Is it really about digital information?
Kate and I wrote it together.
Digital information.
Information. I feel like we need a recording of an audience.
A backing.
We'll just.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a very golf cheers. Sounding clap.
Golf claps.
I have
yes.
a secret golf career.
In your experience of open mics around Melbourne, how important is the audience?
Yeah, important.
What makes a good audience and what makes a bad audience?
People listening and being supportive, and
I assume that's good.
That's good. Okay. And I always really encourage people, like, go up to someone after they played and tell them they were great. It might totally make their night, or you might make a friend, or you might, I don't know, sometimes I joke like, you never know, you might fall in love, you might, there's a couple of people over open mics I've run over the years who've hooked up, gotten married, there's at least one baby I know of that exists.
an open mic baby.
OMB.
But just like giving people some feedback, like that first song I played, Priorities, I wrote that when I was like real emotional and my uncle was dying, and I played it at open mic a couple of days after I wrote it, and I thought I would play it once and never play it again. I thought it was just a song I wrote for me, like I needed to get it out, and people kept asking me to play it, and it's like the song that all my friends and people that come to my gigs ask me to play all the time years later, and you just don't know. It gives you the best feedback. And then I guess not a good audience is just people talking and not listening. Like,
which... And Kate does this amazing thing at this open mic. She shushes people. You can literally see if you're on stage and and Kate's around and someone's talking really loudly, you can see her going over there and shushing them. It's amazing. It's actually amazing.
We try to, like, I know it's an open bar. I'll kind of politely be like, hey guys, if you want to have a big chat, there's a back room and it's really comfy.
But and like, we shut the door to the back room.
You know, this might be someone who's playing for the first time and they're really
it's
nervous.
It's really nice.
And it's that thing where, like, once there's one, there can be two people talking loudly, and then it, like, it gives the rest of the room permission to talk loudly.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're playing this horrible, stressful thing and you're like, oh, God. And it makes so much difference than when you're starting. I mean, in a way, it's a lesson, too. You need to learn as a musician to deal with all different things. But we need to, like, nurture people and give them a space where they feel safe and comfortable and...
Especially because a lot of people are sharing some very like deep stuff sometimes when they share their songs.
Yeah.
And so it's nice when no one's talking over the top of you while you talk about something really sad and meaningful to you.
Yeah, that's it. You never know what people are going through, or like it can mean a lot, like having people listen and
I think you do a good job of setting that culture.
Oh, thanks. I do what I can. I try to do it in a polite but like
it's amazing. It's actually so funny when I watch her do this.
That song was about digital information.
Yeah.
While you were singing it, I was thinking of, you know, the way information disconnects us, but it also can connect us. And I'm thinking of during the pandemic, open mics would have been shut down.
Yeah.
What happened? What was your experience of open mics during that time? Did they just cease to exist, or did any pop up online?
I think there were a few online, but I didn't really do that stuff so much. I actually did like have a big cry in the lounge room one night during COVID, just like, I don't know what to do with my life when I'm not in bars playing music and being around everyone. Well, who even am I? But because we actually met just before COVID, like Jake moved to Melbourne and came to open mic and played, and like a couple of weeks later, everything was shut down, and him and his other friend had a studio at a mutual friend's place, and we ended up hanging out a lot during COVID, and it's kind of, we became really good friends and where it all started. But I think there were some online things, but it sort of did cease. Like, it was a really nice thing when it came back, I remember running an open mic like when it just started again during COVID, and we were like lots of people. We were like, are people going to be too scared to come out? But lots of people came out because they were just so keen to like play and engage and have that community and like.
You had to wipe down the mics.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm literally between every person. Yeah, like, just let me play this for me a second.
Brendan and I actually started playing on Facebook and putting up songs on during lockdown.
Oh, cool.
Because we had started playing together right before lockdown, and then we couldn't. And so one of us would record something, and then the other one would do harmonies, and then he would like zip them together and then put them up as a little video.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Are they still online? Can I go and stalk them?
Yeah, they are. It was way back now. But I remember thinking, I was so fine. And then I was lying in bed and I watched a video of a street performer singing and someone joining her. And I just started crying and I realized how much I'd missed it.
Yeah,
and it had been like a year in. You think you were fine and then all of a sudden you're not fine.
I've been spending most nights a week out at music venues since I was like 17. Like,
and it's
I was
that like, collective, who even am I? It's the collective feeling when you listen to someone
yeah,
and
being
share
in a
that
room
feeling
with
together.
Other people
yes, that was it. That was like, exactly what I missed.
Yeah, and even like I've spent a lot of years like just going to gigs by myself, and then I've met people, and like you connect with people. It's such a bond that just is kind of like nothing else, really.
Yeah,
like,
in that way, it's a great practice before playing a gig, because you can become more relaxed and comfortable in a bit more of a less judgy, supportive environment. But yeah, I guess at a gig, if people are coming, especially if it's ticketed, people are sort of watching attentively and expecting a bit more. So, yeah.
Yeah, an open mic is a place to try out new things.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen, and that's part of what's exciting, I think. And sometimes too, I love watching like people come in who aren't there for a bit, who they've just come in for a drink and they don't really know what's going on, and I'll go, oh, it's open mic tonight, you can play or you can whatever, and they'll be like, oh no, I'm just going to sit in the corner. And you know, you say open mic and lots of people, they assume like, oh, is this going to be any good? And then people, like, I love the book of, like, people get up and they're amazing, people like Celine and stuff, and people are like, oh my god, this is amazing. I'm like, yeah, this is done every week, guys, like, come on, come back. And it's always really good, and you can talk to people, exactly. And you can meet people. And
you get those very special moments in open mics, I think, where you're not expecting it. Like, I remember Tim Woods and my friend Emma getting up and singing this beautiful cover of a Simon and Garfunkel song, and we were not expecting it. It was the sweetest thing. And I also love that, like, because it's not a sort of professional music kind of singing thing, you get people come in and they sing with their normal voices and they sing with their heart, and it's like you get those... Like, I have a list of, like, favorite open mic memories where you just never forget those nights.
Oh, totally.
And it's those magic quiet... Memories. Yeah, it's yeah, where you have those magic moments and it only happens at open mics.
Yeah, yeah.
You only get that at open mics. And it's so sweet. And I that's one thing I do like to tell people is sing with your normal voice. Like, everyone can sing. And I love hearing people's real voices.
Yeah.
Where they're not trying to sound like Rihanna or... you know, one of those big, big musicians where you know it's their voice.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that part of it.
Ragtime's also, just to extend on the real sound of musicians, because of the grand piano, every now and then you'll just get fully acoustic performances and you can hear that piano just reverberating around. So I think a lot of people who go to gigs but aren't necessarily musicians are shocked at, like, how nice just raw instruments can sound, and it's kind of like musicians sharing a little bit more of what it's like for them.
Yeah, like without the production, without that big production sound behind it. It's
like
really
behind
lovely.
The scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people come in and go, oh, does anyone ever play the piano? I'm like, yeah, all the time.
All the time.
And they're like, oh my God, really? And sometimes too, you get people that go, like, they're sitting in the corner and they weren't planning to play, but they're like, oh, I mean, I played piano when I was a kid, and then
you're like, get on there,
have a couple of beers, and then they'll get the guts to get up, and like, they're amazing, and you're like, what?
It's really sweet.
Speaking of playing music, do you have another song?
Yeah, this one's Kay wrote this one. It's called Change.
Thank you. Public transport's great.
What's not great is that unless you've got a radio with you, you can't listen to 3CR when you're on it.
Until now. The Community Radio Plus app lets you listen to us wherever you are.
Get on board and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
Even subtropical rainforests that don't usually burn, we're actually on fire.
We have the obligation to care for country.
So much forest burnt that around 3 billion animals are either killed or displaced.
The more we push back against the colonial apparatus, the more positive change we can have in terms of addressing climate change.
3CR, stay tuned, stay radical.
You are on 3CR. My name is Brendan and the show is Rotations. And we've got Celine in here and we've got Kate and we've got Jacob. And Kate and Jacob have just played some fantastic music for us here live in the studio with their beautiful guitars. They sound lovely.
They do, yeah. Sound lovely.
What are you rocking today? A Taylor?
This is Kate's Taylor, not to be confused with Kate Taylor.
It's my guitar. Hi, Kate Taylor.
Oh, yes, Kate Taylor, yes. Come across.
Kate and Jake. A good guest sometime, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Kate and Jake have brought a banjo and two guitars, so there's currently
Which
four instruments.
Which, they're all mine. Jake has tried to claim my Taylor, but I'm like, it's
I'm
ours.
I'm a really poor, poor man.
He has lots of nice
He's desperately clinging
too.
To it.
It's mine.
We can share it.
Oh, in the moments left to us, Celine, would you like to play a song?
Yes, I want to share this song. It's one of my favorite stories to share. And I actually shared it at the open mic with Kate around. And I could hear her going, yes, a dragon song. So, yeah, I want to share my dragon song. I wrote this song about the Bendigo dragons. And if you have not been to Bendigo to see these dragons, please go check them out. There is a very old processional dragon in Bendigo in the Golden Dragon Museum. And it's over 100 years old. It came on a ship in about 1892. And it marched in the Federation Day Parade in 1901. And a journalist that watched that parade said all the people clapped and cheered for this dragon, but these were also the same people that then later that year voted for the White Australia policy. So when that came in 1901, it basically caused a lot of problems with the Chinese community because they were no longer able to bring their families over. A lot of them chose to go back. And it got to the point where they didn't have enough people to carry this dragon anymore. So the dragon actually got put away for several years because it just didn't have enough people. And there was also a fire that came through. Anyway, obviously, over the years, we as a country decided that we no longer supported the White Australia policy. So during the 60s and 70s, it got phased out. And this dragon is still here to this day to see that change happen in the world. And every year on Easter Day, they have two parades. They have the midnight, they have the night one, the day before Easter, and they have the Easter Day parade. And it's amazing to see because now this culture that was so maligned at the time is now celebrated in Bendigo. And so this is a song about this dragon who'd seen all this change happen in the world. And it's not often that you get a creature like that see this much change over 100 years.
Aboard a ship he came to town. He was red and green and gold, and everybody knew it when the dragon came to town. He had rolling eyes and shimmering scales and a great big lashing tail, and he marched for towns and hospitals, and he marched for kings and queens, and all the people cheered for him on Federation Day when the dragon came to town. And he traveled through the country with his little lion friend, Echuca, Brisbane, Adelaide, Darwin, Castlemaine. And he took up 16 carriages when he got to ride the train when the dragon came to town. The men in suits they introduced their foreign policy, said his people were not welcome here, they refused their families, their population dwindled, and there was no one left to proudly carry his head high, and the beating drums were still. His silken scales were patched and worn from all the sun and rain, and all the hands he touched for luck no longer held his tail. And the mighty golden dragon, he laid his head to rest. And every now and then, the people still remembered the day the dragon came to town. And they wondered where he went, and the world began to slowly turn, as we know it always will. And then one day the dragon stirred, 100 years from then. he'd awoken to a brighter world, one not so filled with hate. And he knew that all his marching then had brought his people back. And he marched again for one last time, and the people lined the streets. The children that had cheered for him now had children of their own. He had lived to see his people home in the city of Bendigo.
Thank you very much, Celine. The Dragon Song.
Yes, the Dragon Song. I forgot to tell you that, he got taken out and this new dragon came and they had to bow to each other and it was a whole thing and they got told off for bringing him out, but that was his last walk.
He wasn't allowed out of the nursing
he
home.
He was not allowed out anymore.
Poor dragon.
That makes sense. I was wondering why it was the last walk.
Yeah.
I guess you got old.
Yeah, you missed that part of the story.
To figure out things again.
And we're just about to wrap up the show, but we've got time for one last song from Kate and Jake.
Ironically, the song's called No Time.
No Time. We're just out of time.
And we kept it spontaneous, so whatever we sing is kind of off the cuff.
Just like a real open mic.
That's right, yeah.
So let's see. Coming up next is Queering the Air, and you've been listening to Rotations on 3CR. You can listen back to the podcasts of this show on the website, 3cr.org.au/rotations.
Yes, and we'll be sharing the link soon.
So you should be able to... Oh, a string just flew across the room. No, it didn't.
He's joking. Don't scare them like that.
Sounded a little bit like it.
Got a mind of its own. Thanks for having us.
Big joke about tuning banjos that people always talk about.
There was actually a guy at open mic just last week that played a song about
tuning a banjo.
It was kind of bad mouthing banjos.
I didn't realize how bad it was.
Should I tell him I play the banjo? It's okay. It was fun.
Yeah, this is No Time. Time.
about it. Help me along. Got no tie. I'm on my own. No tie.
Thank you so much. Just quickly, you've got an album out on the streamings.
Ah, yeah, it's a bit old, but it's there.
What's it called?
It's called Ways to Waste Your Life Away. I've joked about making a next album that's just called More Ways to Waste Your Life Away, and then even more, and you just keep going.
Amazing. I like this concept. I approve.
Yeah. But then hopefully we'll be more soon. We're just starting to record some stuff. And
yay.
Stay tuned.
Thank you. We look forward to it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being on Rotations today.
Thanks for having us. It's been fun.
Thanks so much, guys.